Bill, you were up late last night or early. I don't know which it is.
Late.
2 a.m. and get this text that just got the news that David Bowie has passed away. And I got to tell you, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was sick. 69 years old. Friday was his 69th birthday. Friday, his new album was released, and he was going to be honored by Cyndi Lauper, The Roots, and The Mountain Goats, if I remember correctly, sometime in March. And that never happened. And we are going to talk David Bowie. The Man Who Sold the World is the name of the book. And the man who wrote it, Peter Doggett, on the line with us. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hi there. Good afternoon.
Some tragic news that we heard here in the States early this morning. I am speechless. He's too young. 69 years old, too young for such a legendary man to fall.
Exactly. And I was just as speechless as you at 7 a.m. this morning when I was half asleep and put the radio on and they said, oh, we're just getting news that. And no, it was an awful shock. I did actually do the classic thing of turning to my wife in bed and saying, can you pinch me? No, is this a dream? Am I actually awake? But unfortunately, I was, and that was the news.
Peter, when we were discussing his work, David Bowie's work earlier today, I had said he was one of those guys that every time you thought you had him figured out, he would do something completely different or go in a different direction. That was kind of the way he always was, wasn't it?
It was. That was certainly true 3 years ago on his birthday when, completely out of the blue, he came out with a new single and then a new album, which absolutely nobody outside his inner circle knew anything about. This most recent album that came out in the last couple of days was slightly better advertised. People were aware it was coming, but then, of course, nobody was expecting the news this morning. But in a less dramatic way, it's been like that in his whole career. I mean, if you trace it right back to 1964 when he first started making records, there's no real sense of continuity from one record to the next. It's almost like it's a different guy every time, but except for the incredible level of sort of genius behind the music.
Well, this new album, is it Black Street, the name of it?
Black Star.
Black Star, that's right. Was more of a jazzy effort. And I had heard some press earlier this morning about he was kind of happy about leaving Ziggy Stardust behind, where he could go out and perform his own music and not be this character anymore, although, boy, I sure love that character.
Yeah. Well, it was that character that made him famous. I mean, he wasn't really getting anywhere as David Bowie. And it was only when he went away and then came back a year later and said, oh, by the way, I'm Ziggy Stardust. I'm a rock and roll star from outer space. And everybody could
sure
have laughed.
Sure you are.
But instead, people said, oh, okay. And they took him seriously. So that was a huge moment in his career. It was the most important moment. But he had great courage in that he left that image behind very quickly. Most people would have thought, this is great. I'm going to ride this for as many years as I can get away with it. But he stayed as Ziggy Stardust for about 18 months, that's all, and then moved on, so which takes a lot of courage.
Peter, let's discuss his androgyny for just a little bit. He didn't hold back when it came to discussing his sexuality. He didn't hide too much, and that was a time where careers could easily be broken by admitting that they weren't 100% straight. What was the thought process for him exactly about all that?
I think he realized, this is all around the time of Ziggy Stardust, or just a few weeks before, when he actually gave an interview to a paper in England and said, I'm gay, at a time when probably most people in Britain didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
It was a phrase that was only just coming into usage here. I think he realized that it would get him attention, and it did. And then in subsequent years, he said, well, no, I was lying. I wasn't really gay. And then he changed his mind again and again and again. I think he was open to anything in all aspects of his life. But that statement, and then, as you say, the androgynous image he came up with, had a huge impact on certainly people in the UK, young people who weren't quite sure about their own sexuality or who knew they were gay and didn't fit into the ordinary society. Suddenly, there was their role model, their hero.
But even today, there are still performers who wonder about whether coming out is a good career move. He didn't really take much of a hit, did he, for admitting anything he admitted? He didn't lose any sales of albums or anything, did he?
No, because at the time he made that admission, he wasn't really that famous. It's interesting. I'm trying to remember. I think it was 4 or 5 years later than that that Elton John came out. And there was actually quite a backlash against him in the States for a few months as a result. And then everybody got over it and just moved on. But I think at the point David Bowie said that, he hadn't got too much of a career to risk. And maybe his fans were the kind of people who weren't going to be upset by it as well.
Boy, you know, it makes me feel good now that we have come a long way since Elton John, you know, declaring that he's gay. There's still some work to be done, but we certainly have come a long way in acceptance, which is a great thing. We're talking to Peter Doggett right now, his David Bowie book, The Man Who Sold the World. You've also done some great books, Lou Reed, Bob Dylan. I raised my 16-year-old. I'm a rock former rock and roll jock on the radio, and he really idolized David Bowie. I was telling Bill and the listeners earlier, when I said to my 16-year-old son this morning, David Bowie passed away, he did not know how to take this. This is his first idol, someone he dressed as Ziggy Stardust for Halloween a couple years ago. It was heartbreaking for me to hear him react to his first idol that died since he's been born.
Yeah, and it says a lot about Bowie, the fact that somebody who was 69, so who I guess is a similar age to your son's grandparents,
yeah,
would be that upset about, you know, a teenager would be that upset about somebody of 69. It just shows there was an eternal youthfulness about Bowie that went way beyond his sort of physical age. There was something about the way he always renewed himself. He was always so creative that I think age and time went out of the window, and he would always get new fans for that reason.
Peter, we were also discussing a duet, a very famous duet that he did with Bing Crosby, where they sang Little Drummer Boy together. How did that come to be? Because on paper, you look at Bing Crosby and you look at David Bowie and you think, that's not going to mix too well. It ended up mixing very well. But how did all that come together, do you know?
I have to confess, I'm not 100% sure of how Bing Crosby agreed to it. I think David Bowie agreed to it, partly because he knew he would be able to reach a new audience in America that way, which I think he did.
Yeah.
And also because going right back to the very beginning, one of his early idols was Judy Garland. So although we think of him as very much in the rock thing, I mean, he was very into Hollywood musicals and stage musicals and so on. So I would think Bing Crosby would have been one of his heroes the same way Elvis Presley would have been.
A story that we read earlier was he wasn't that big of a fan of Bing Crosby and didn't want to do the traditional Little Drummer Boy, but his mom was a fan of Bing Crosby, so he wanted in, and that's why he was able to change that around to the Peace on Earth part that he did. We played it earlier this morning, and even though Christmas is gone, it still was. It gave me goosebumps. It was a beautiful piece of music.
Yeah, and at the time, was it not the last performance by Bing Crosby on television?
Yes.
Yeah, we found that out earlier, yeah.
There's a picture that's going around by Jimmy King, and we will put a link to this on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Allegedly, this was the last picture of David Bowie taken, and he's in a suit, and he's looking very thin, as he always, you know, the thin white Duke, that's what he was known as. And why is this man so happy? Because it's his 69th birthday, and he has released his 28th studio album today. And who would have thought 2 days later he passed away?
Right. Yeah. Well, yes, I've seen the photograph you're talking about, and it's one of those photos where you can look at it in retrospect and say, oh, he doesn't look well. But if we'd seen it without that knowledge, I think we would have said, my goodness, for a 69-year-old, he looks very trim, he looks very good and very happy. So,
and he's always been trim. I mean, he doesn't look sickly to me. He just looks very thin. And the cancer kind of comes to a surprise, I think, for a lot of us. 18 months he was diagnosed, it sure took him quickly.
Yes, that's right. I mean, obviously, we've got no idea about how that illness affected him over that time. But I mean, the strange thing is, for me, as a former journalist in the music world, is that I've been hearing rumors, and only rumors, about his health going back 10, 12 years. He'd had to retire from touring because he had heart problems. And then I kept hearing people saying, oh, a friend of a friend of a friend says David Bowie's got cancer. And so going back, you know, 2008, 2009, I was always sort of at the back of my mind thinking, oh, I might wake up one morning and he might die. But the last couple of years, he'd come back, he was making great music again, and I'd completely forgotten about all that, you know, so which is why it was such a shock today.
We're talking to Peter Doggett, his book, The Man Who Sold the World, David Bowie in the 1970s. You got to admit, Peter, for a guy who wasn't a professional actor, music was his main trade, he did a pretty good job in a lot of good movies, didn't he?
He did. Not every one of them was brilliant, but he was always game. He'd always try, and he threw himself into an incredible variety of parts. I mean, there's an awful lot of kids who only know him through the film Labyrinth.
Yeah. Wendy's son is one of them.
I have a 13-year-old who, when I told him this morning, he goes, oh, that's terrible news. And I was kind of surprised he knew David Bowie. And he says, you know, now there's not going to be a Labyrinth 2.
Yep, that's right.
So he really did span the spectrum of young teenagers to, you know, old people his age and above.
Yes, and you mentioned film. He also did theater. He got very involved in the art world, both as a painter himself, and he was sponsoring a very well-respected art magazine in London, and he was staging exhibitions and hanging out with all the sort of leading British artists a few years ago. So he had very, very wide tastes, and ever since he left school, really, he always wanted to discover new things. He wasn't one of those people who, at the age of 18, goes, right, I know what I like, I'm just going to do that. He always wanted to explore new areas, and that's what kept his music so fresh, I think.
Is there one song in particular, Peter, that you think in 100 years when David Bowie's name is mentioned will be the one song people think of? Is there one, or is it just too many to encompass?
I think it's too many. I mean, in this country, the one everybody always reaches for is Heroes, but I'd like to think it was Changes, because it's an incredibly beautiful song, the way it's constructed and so on. The lyrics are very intelligent, and it also captures the heart of what he was about. He was always changing.
And his marriage to Iman, he was married to her for quite some time, after Angela Bowie. I remember that.
Yep. And of course, they had a daughter who I think was born in 2000. And so that was one of the good things, if you will, about the fact he had to quit touring, was that he was able to have a normal family life. And at least she was able to spend all that time with her father up until, I think she's 15 or 16 now. So obviously it's still really tragic for her, but at least she would have had that really intense time with him.
And I do know, and I, you know, I had read so many things this morning that was it. I thought his son had announced that he had passed away. Yes, I hate to confirm the truth, but yes, David Bowie dies of cancer, age 69. He died peacefully, surrounded by his family, after that 18-month battle. Really sad, tragic news.
Yeah, his son, who was originally christened Zoe. Or Zoe Bowie.
Oh, that's right. Zoe Bowie. I forgot about that. He now goes by Duncan Jones.
That's right, because Jones is obviously the family name. And in fact, in New York, apparently when David Bowie was taking his daughter to school, which he did regularly, he would always insist on people calling him Mr. Jones.
And so, really?
Because that was his family name, and my daughter was Jones. But yes,
and he did change his name, because there was another David Jones in the Monkees who was very popular. Is that why he went away from the David Jones and went David Bowie?
I think there were actually two or three, because there was also an American soul singer who was based in Britain at the same time, who was not as popular as Davy Jones of the Monkees, but he was around. So there were too many David Joneses around, basically.
Very interesting.
And the guy who has the locker at the bottom of the sea. We don't want to leave him out either. So there's plenty of Davy Joneses everywhere. Peter, the book is great. The Man Who Sold the World, David Bowie and the 1970s. A magnificent musician, a fantastic guy all the way around, and he will certainly be missed. We appreciate you spending time with us, Peter. We really do.
Okay, thanks very much.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you. You can go to peterdoggett.org. Is that it? .org? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're being told yes. I always thought it was .co.uk for some reason in Great Britain, but he might be here. I don't know where he is.
Doesn't sound like he's here. Well, hello.
No, he's gone. Now he said goodbye.
You could have a British accent.
.org is usually like a nonprofit.
It's usually right. Right.
So, all right. Well, we'll look into that. We'll take a break.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, more show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.